Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, how they got there, what they do, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today is episode number 189 with Brian Henry.
You know, a recruiter can be one of those great resources. You know, a recruiter with years of experience can have a lens into all these different industries and job types and what other people like them have done and the success that they've had, and they can help share some of that. And then your own networking efforts as well to get as clear a picture as you can of what path you want to pursue.
Well, two great reasons to listen to today's episode. First of all, Brian works at Orion Talent, a company for military recruiting that has placed several of the guests on this show. If any of you are on active duty, thinking of getting out, the first 15 or 16 minutes of this interview talk about Orion Talent and why you should think of working with them. The other reason to listen to this, though, is the remaining 30 minutes of the interview. We dive into Brian's 20 years of experience helping military veterans find their first job out of the military. He has a wealth of experience. It aligned really well with what I've observed in doing these interviews, so definitely worth listening to his advice on this. And if you enjoy that, Orion Talent has a podcast. It's linked to in the show notes, but that's a great resource. They delve into common interview tips and advice and other evergreen topics that will be helpful in your career transition. So with that, let's dive into my interview with Brian Henry. Joining me today in San Diego, California is Brian Henry. Brian, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks, Justin. Glad to be here.
So for listeners, Brian is the Senior Vice President of Operations at Orion Talent, where he has worked in various capacities for 20 years. He started out at Penn State University, after which he served in the Marine Corps as an infantry officer for over 11 years. And in the show notes, I'll add, we've had quite a few guests on Beyond the Uniform who found their job, or their, at least their first job out of the military, through Orion Talent. They're one of the military recruiters. And so, Brian, excited to have you on, not just to share about Orion, but also, 20 years in this space. I imagine you've helped a lot of veterans figure out what they want to do and where they want to work. And so excited to hear what you've learned.
Yeah, no, it's been a interesting path. You know, my story, I got out of the Marine Corps. I got selected for recruiting command orders at the 11-year mark, and that's what led me to kind of pop my head up and think, well, maybe I don't want to do that. I'm gonna get out. So I got out of the Marine Corps not to go into recruiting, and I've been in recruiting for 20 years now. So
that's awesome.
Been an interesting path. Yeah.
Well, maybe to start out, if someone listening is on active duty, how would you explain what Orion Talent is?
So Orion Talent is, we're a recruiting leader. We provide skilled talent acquisition, recruitment optimization, and military hiring to businesses nationwide. We just rebranded it. We were Orion International, started back in 1991 by five former military officers, founded the company. And for the first many years of our business, it's purely been in helping transitioning and former military in their career transition into private sector career opportunities. In 2016, we acquired a mid-market RPO firm, Navotis, and kind of added to our ability. So now we can bring not just the military piece and niche that we're very good at, but we can come in and help companies at a much broader level, skilled talent, and even take over the recruitment altogether.
So you've had a lot of different hats while at Orion. Currently, you're Senior Vice President of Operations. Could you give a sense of, just briefly, what that means? And then also just kind of walk us through the types of work that you've done while you've been at Orion.
Yeah, so currently as a Senior VP of Ops, I'm in charge of our recruiting teams nationally, specifically the officer recruiting teams in our five offices, and then kind of overseeing kind of our systems and recruiting processes. So I'm based here out of San Diego, but we have offices in Virginia Beach, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Austin, and here in San Diego. I started out as an account executive, which is, we have two primary roles within Orion. One is the recruiter. They're the people that are talking to the candidates first. We pretty much hire almost entirely all veteran workforce. And so the recruiters talk to the candidates on the front end, get to know them, their background, what they want to do, plant the seeds and let them know what's out there and the types of opportunities that we tend to see. And then the other job is the account executive. They're the guys, and that's the role I started out in, where we're out there interfacing with the companies, trying to build relationships with companies, talk to decision makers in leadership and talent acquisition about their hiring needs and specifically where the military can fit in, and then bring them to the table when they have openings and work closely with the recruiters to get the right candidates in front of the companies. So I started as an account executive. I moved over onto the recruiting side, did that for a few years, and then I've progressed into an operations manager back when we used to have one manager running an entire branch, and then up into the VP and senior VP roles.
And what are the for the veterans that you work with or the people on active duty that you help place, what are some of the typical industries that you work with?
Yeah, so really, our focus is private sector. So, you know, we aren't interfacing with the defense contracting world. And, you know, we don't find ourselves in the nonprofit and educational realm. So it's mostly it's private sector. And I like to say you're either making a product, which is manufacturing, which is a big core. You're either making a product, you're moving a product, so something in the supply chain, logistics, transportation. You're servicing a product, you know, a lot of service and operations companies out there, or you're selling a product. We do see a lot of companies coming to us looking for sales, everything from medical device to industrial sales, professional level. And then construction is another big industry for us, both on the residential and commercial side. And then, you know, power plant, energy is the other. They're kind of the primary, the core businesses that we find most of the opportunity in.
And how does it work for someone? So if someone's listening and one of those industries or those functional roles is appealing to them, how do they engage with Orion?
So, I mean, there's the easiest way. I mean, they can go on a website and apply and create a profile. They can, you know, a lot of our contact information is there. So they can register. We do have, you know, we have some core candidate profiles that we're very effective at. Unfortunately, you know, we really are reliant on where we can find the opportunities, where the demand from the companies that is out there. And it's usually for leadership. I mean, they're coming to us for that leadership background out of the military. And or we have a very robust enlisted technical recruiting team. So where they've got the hands-on technical skills, electrical, mechanical, electronics, and help place that type of skills in high demand. So those are the two primary, whether it's degreed leaders and skilled technicians are the main veteran community that we're able to help effectively. But the easiest way is to apply online, create a profile, and then a recruiter should reach out and get in touch with them.
And what's the and how do you help veterans? Like, what's the basic process?
So from when a candidate comes into the system, the first step is going to be to get just a quick introduction call. We typically once a candidate is within about 90 days from being able to start in a new career, so somewhere around 90, I mean, it can go out to 120. But once they're inside that window, at that point we would potentially be matching them up with opportunities and setting up interviews or bringing them into events prior to that time. So depending on when they first come into our system, whether it's 6 months out, a year out, or 2 years out, it's a quick introductory call to get just to figure out who they are, what their background is, and really the timeline drives things. When are they getting out of the military? And then in the early stages, it's education, coaching them on, hey, here's what we see. These are some of the opportunities. This is where we would be good, a good resource for you, confirming that we're a good fit for each other, and then helping to steer them towards interview preparation, those kinds of things to get them ready so that when they are at the 3 to 4 month out point, they're ready to start interviewing with companies, and they have an idea of what they're looking for and what they're interested in by that time.
What's the you said you confirm you're a good fit for each other. What comes to mind of people who are a good fit and then people who might not be a good fit for this sort of recruiting?
Right. So, I mean, if someone wants to stay in the federal government, right, so they want, there's so many options out there for veterans. There's so many different directions they can go. It's almost unlimited. So if someone wants to go into an industry that is not in our core, for instance, information technology is not an area that we really focus on. In the private sector, they're looking for very specific skill sets and experiences. And I think we end up really being that middleman that helps bridge the gap between the military background that may not jump out off the page to where they know that you're an absolute perfect fit for the job. If that makes sense. For instance, a civil engineering construction, their resume is going to resonate with a construction company probably. Mm-hmm. They don't need as much translation to get their foot in the door and get in front of those companies as maybe an infantry officer coming out looking for some type of leadership job in the private sector, whether that's, in manufacturing, in construction, or in general operations.
Mm. One thing I'll just add, and I'd love your thoughts on this. So one of the things that I appreciated, I think it was John Vesterman. It was one of the early mm-hmm. interviews. And one of the things that I appreciated about his working with Orion, or I guess, military recruiters in general, is it seems like you guys do a very effective job of getting the veteran a lot of reps. They go to, I'm assuming they go to, like, if I'm remembering correctly, an event where they're doing, dozens of interviews in a day. And it seems like almost like a boot camp experience of like, man, that's going to be a great way to make sure that your resume is buttoned up, your story is buttoned up, and you get a lot of exposure too, where if you meet with a dozen or two dozen companies in the course of a couple of days, you're going to know, hey, this is the team that I liked the most, or this one stood out the most. And it's that old phrase that the best decisions are made in parallel, not in series. And being able to see these things side by side also gives a lot of insight into an industry or functional role that the person might like. And I'm just wondering, that's just my outsider view. Is that accurate?
Yes, I think, the hiring conferences have always been kind of a bread and butter, I think, for the recruiting firms. It's interesting, and maybe we'll talk about this more later, about some of the changes over the years. But what the hiring conference format does for the candidate is it gets them in front of companies, and it can be a wide range of different types of opportunities. So early in that process, they can get exposure to a lot of different types of opportunities and start to get a better understanding of what these jobs are, and then figure out what they really do like, what connects with them, what is the path they want to go. I think a lot of candidates come into the process really unsure of where they fit in. They don't have a good picture of it. And by going to an event like the conferences that we do, someone who's somewhat open-minded in terms of location and type of job could really consider a wide range of different jobs all in one setting that could lead directly to follow-on interviews and a job. But worst-case scenario, it is going to hone their interview skills, and it's also going to help them get a better sense of what are the right fits for them, maybe that they don't have before they get that experience interviewing and really looking at an individual opportunity.
That's great. I do want to dive into, the changes you've seen and just kind of what you've learned in your 20-year career. But I also want to make room. What have we not covered about Orion that you want to make sure that you share with listeners?
Well, I think the biggest thing is my advice with candidates is that in my mind, it's better for us to have their information in our database than to not. Because even for some candidates, we could be a primary resource. And that usually becomes because they're open to either a range of locations or maybe a very high density location, right? Like if you were an electrical engineer and you wanted to work in the Bay Area, Northern California, they might be able to put all their eggs in our basket. We probably have plenty of opportunities up there that we could put them into, for instance. But if a candidate is not that open and limited, it's still worth it to be in our database so that if we find an opportunity that pops up next week, we're going to go into our database to do that search. And we might uncover somebody who we weren't bringing into a conference just because they were looking for something very specific and weren't a good fit to bring to a conference setting, but we're able to make a one-off match to them. So I just recommend the candidates to, once they're within a year of getting out, they register on our site, they fill in their profile, their preferences, their timeline, and at least at that point, we have the capability of finding them efficiently and being in contact with them to match them up against opportunities.
And I would just say, I have not had experience with military recruiters, but for what it's worth, from great options come great, great decisions. And from my perspective, it seems like there is zero downside to throwing your name in this database. From what I understand, Orion and companies like Orion, they make their money from the company that hires. If someone hires you, they are paying Orion a fee, so it's completely free for you. And it's a way to, in sales parlance, we talk about lead generation. It's great lead gen, because if your name is in that database, you're going to see more opportunities and you're going to get potentially training about how to interview and what options are out there. So it seems like a low to no risk process to add your name to their system and let them know when you're transitioning.
Right. And I think, and what we try to do, and I know as a recruiter, I would always try to set reasonable expectations with the candidate. If we're not going to be a primary resource, for whatever restrictions, maybe it's the candidate only wants to, live in San Diego. That's going to be a limiting factor for a recruiting firm. We do place people in San Diego. So if you're not in our database, we're not going to find you. We're going to find others that are in the database, the one in San Diego, and that first pass. So we try to set reasonable expectations so that we're both on the same page and then communicate openly. And like you said, there's very little risk or downside. The companies do pay a fee. And in fact, I wrote a blog post because I talked to candidates and I hear some of the, misconceptions and things that are shared out there amongst the people transitioning, that one candidate told me that they had heard they shouldn't use a recruiter because their salary was going to be reduced by the fee. And that is just, it's just not the way things work, companies have specific pay ranges for positions and they're not going to pay someone $15,000 less than the person next to them because they took that $15,000 and paid a fee to the recruiting firm. It's a separate budget. Every company invests money in their talent acquisition, and those that engage with an outside recruiting firm are prepared and ready to and see the value in paying that fee when they hire somebody to join their team.
Awesome. Well, let's shift gears a little bit, and I want to delve into your wealth of experience in helping people in the military find what they're going to do. I do want to preface all this for listeners and let you know in the show notes I'll have a link to this, but Orion Talent recently launched a podcast. It's called From the Battlefield to the Boardroom. They have over 43 episodes and counting, and the great thing about their content is it is very timeless. It talks about things like interviewing and career opportunities and transition advice, things that is, we'd call that evergreen content. It's good, right now, and it's good 5 years from now. So know that that's a resource worth checking out, but we'll try to dive into a couple topics for the remaining time we have. And so one of the things I'd love to start with is something you already kind of alluded to, but I imagine in these 20 years you've been in the space, there's been a lot of changes. And I'm just curious, what are some of those changes that stand out to you?
So interestingly, I started in 98. Monster began in 1999. So We just got Monster as the new resume database online. Back then, the only thing you could do as a recruiting firm is you sent out mailers, you got Freedom of Information Act lists. So the biggest change really is LinkedIn. I mean, that's a huge game changer. LinkedIn and social media in terms of the ability to connect individually. You know, candidates can go out and do networking now that they just couldn't do in the past. So that is huge. There's also, I'd say, with that, there's an abundance of information, which sometimes I think can create some of the challenge. There's so much information out there that how do you find the right information that's relevant to you? Because every veteran really is an individual case. You can't cookie cutter and say that this is the path that you have to take because this was your MOS or this was your branch or your background. So there's really just an abundance of information out there. You know, the other big change I would say is the proliferation of veterans initiatives that have come around. You know, joining forces under the Obama administration and we were part of that effort, was really trying to drive companies to hire veterans. And that is, over the past, you know, since 9/11, has really changed the landscape. There's a lot of players out there and a lot of great programs that help connect veterans to companies. So certainly that's a big change.
I love that. And I'm, you know, one thing I want to dig in on is I appreciate you saying that about, you know, there is so much more information. I empathize with someone who's doing that transition now, because I imagine it's very overwhelming, the amount of information, the amount of options out there. And I love that perspective you have that, you know, there isn't a cookie cutter approach for veterans. And that's certainly been my experience in all the interviews I've done, that veterans are very different and they're capable in different ways and they're suitable for so many different jobs. Have you found any effective way for someone on active duty to narrow the playing field or start to get a sense of what to do next, given how much information there is out there?
Yeah, I think it comes to, to me, it all starts with doing some little internal soul searching, whatever, to figure out what is it that you're going to be looking for, what's going to be important to you. You know, so, and if you start to list out what are going to be the drivers in your search, is location going to be important? What type of a career are you looking for? So laying some of that framework down to figure out what it is you're looking for, then so that you have some target in mind to go out and look. But then I would, the next level, and this, I would start this early, is network. Find someone in an industry that you're interested in, whether it's family, friend, or on LinkedIn. Just find another veteran that are going to be happy to talk to you about what they do, and start to build a better situational awareness about what these jobs really are, to figure out if it is what you want to do. I know you've talked, Justin, about you were thinking you were going to go down the consulting path and then went a different direction. And I think that's so many veterans have to have that discovery phase where they try to figure out what's important to them and then what can align with what they're looking for.
That's great. I love that too. And I think about that more and more, you know, in my role in my job. It's early stage startup, and I'm just more and more aware of the role that experimentation plays on everything we do. And I just notice, even for me 10 years out, how averse I can be to experimenting and this fear of failure or fear of making a mistake. And I can imagine that there's some parallels there in the job search of, you know, finding ways to experiment. And I love that you pointed out networking. I think that's a great way to talk to someone, you know, especially a veteran who works in in construction, and talk to them about what that's like and what they like and don't like, and see if that resonates. And I imagine for many of us, this was the same process that helped us figure out what we wanted to do in the military. You probably talked to people who were on submarines or in the Marine Corps or an infantry or whatever it was, and got to know, you know, is this what would excite me? Is this the type of people I want to be hanging out with? And I think networking is a great way to experiment and get some a little bit of data points about what you may like and what you may not be, you know, ideally suited for.
Right. I think you're, you know, I know all the different people that you're interviewing, getting a chance to get a glimpse inside of different industries and different jobs. I mean, all of those things, the more time you put into up front trying to figure out and shape what your game plan is going to be, because if you're focused, and, you know, any guy getting out of the military that's focused and has kind of a mission accomplishment mindset is going to go out there and be successful. But it's when they're wandering around unsure of what they want to do that they're going to struggle.
I love that. Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that the veterans I've interviewed and I think the people I've served with in the military, I feel like that's a common characteristic that when we have an objective, we will do anything to achieve it. And sometimes the hardest part is that period of not having that objective and not knowing exactly what you want to go after, and that can lead to some confusion. But I have no doubt that once the veteran figures out what they want to do, they'll be unstoppable. But it can take some fine-tuning to figure out what that goal is to achieve.
Right. And I think a recruiter can be one of those great resources. You know, a recruiter with years of experience can have a lens into all these different industries and job types and what other people like them have done and the success that they've had, and they can help share some of that. And then your own networking efforts as well to get as clear a picture as you can of what path you want to pursue.
That's great. And you, in the last 20 years, I'm just betting you've seen countless people who are on active duty, who are thinking about their transition and going through that transition. Is there anything that stands out as far as common misconceptions that people have in the military about the job search or just their civilian career in general?
One of the misconceptions is figuring out where they will fit into a company. I see on LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn is a huge tool out there, and you see people indicate what they're looking for. And some, and particularly the more senior, they think I'm going to be a director level in a large company, and that may not be realistic. I think having some humility in recognizing that you're bringing a lot of great skills to the table and a lot of great experiences in the military, particularly. But if you're going into a private sector, whole new industry, whole new career, you may need to recognize that you got to find out where is the right place for you to come in, where your leadership is going to add value to that company, that they're hiring you probably not just for the role that they're bringing you into. That's where you're going to get your first bit of experience and gain some credibility. They're hiring you for the potential to grow from that role. But they have a hard time hiring someone from outside of the industry right into a very high level that normally is being filled either with an internal promotion or headhunting someone from a specific, a competitor or another company that already has that experience. So I think setting your sights, in a realistic way of where you are going to fit into a company in that starting point can be a struggle.
I that matches a lot with the interviews that I've done where so many, I would say the overwhelming majority of the 180 interviews I've done, people had to take a step back. And I would say that in almost every case, they advanced more quickly than their peers. Like they were able to get ahead. It was not a long time in that step back. But in terms of salary and seniority, and you know, some people I've interviewed are working along, they're 29 when they get out and they're working alongside 23-year-olds. There is some ego component there, but I think that is true. A lot of the people I speak with, they expect to have a comparable job or seniority level to what they held in the military. And you know, the further you, if you go into defense contracting or something like that, but the further you step away from the military, it seems like the further you have to be willing to take a temporary step backwards to get your foot in the door and then prove yourself there.
Right. I would agree. And then the next thing I think is that it's a, I think you may not find that dream job right out of the gate. I think you have to come into it with a mindset of each hopefully each, you got to take a good position with a good opportunity, and then you have to proactively shape your career. So that first job, whether you stay with that company for 20 years, or whether that's the position that helps you get a much clearer focus on exactly what direction you want to go, and promote internally within that company, or use it as a springboard into other opportunities. Once you've got a year or two under your belt, hopefully a promotion, you don't need a military recruiter to help translate why you're a fit in that industry or in that company. You're at that point, your experience in that industry is going to speak for itself.
That's great. It's I think from my own experience, my experience in the military was, it was such a set path. Like, I knew literally the day on which I would be promoted up and through 03, and then reasonably certainly after that. And I knew basically the handful of jobs that I would be qualified for and where those were located. And I love that thought that you have of the proactivity in your career of, like, really taking ownership, excuse me, and responsibility for one's own career path. And I just want to recognize that in my experience, and I think in most people's experience, that's not a trait that any of us in the military had to really define proactively while on active duty. Like, it's just not a skill we needed. And yet I think it's a skill right. that's really crucial as a civilian, is you are the only person responsible for figuring out what you want to do and how you want to get there. And the level of ownership there needs to be stepped up compared to at least what I was used to in the military.
No, I would definitely agree. And I've seen so many people's paths when we have keynote speakers come into some of our big events, military veterans who may have made the transition are now at a senior level of company, and they talk about the paths that they have taken, and they're not linear. You know, there's a lot of different moving parts. It's opportunity based, and the experience that they gain in that first role sets the stage for the next role and the next role after that. And it's that being proactive throughout that process, being able to pivot and adjust if you need to, and have a long-term view on where you want to go and are you progressing towards that.
Yeah, I love that sense of pivoting too. You know, again, from my experience, I think that when I left the military, I had a sense of loyalty and longevity that I don't think necessarily served me, where I think my mindset was like, I'm going to go somewhere and then, you know, stay there for another 5 years or something. And I think that there's a lot to respect about people who may join a job and after a year or change and realize, like, hey, this isn't the right fit, and be proactive in moving to something else in that spirit of experimentation. And I remember one of my favorite instructors at business school had said, you know, don't waste 3 years of your life getting a year worth of experience. And when I hear you saying, you know, proactive and being willing to pivot, I think that's just being honest about, is this a good fit? And if not, that's not a failure. Maybe you figured out the functional role. Maybe you really like sales, but you don't like sales and medical devices. Well, great. There's tons of different industries you can do sales in. Or maybe you like medical devices, but you don't like sales. Like, really being honest and being proactive in changing your situation to make sure you get what you want.
Right. And I think the other key is, and it's owning this part, is you just have to come into the position that you do, that you first go into, and then excel. You know, you have to perform, and if you perform, doors will open. And if they don't open there, then that's going to be an indication you got to be looking somewhere else for it. But hopefully you've done your due diligence before you select and agree to go to work for a company, that you see the growth opportunity, you come in and perform, and doors will open for you.
That's great. Yeah, I love that too. It's like, if you're if you're performing well for 6 months and it's not being recognized, that's a good sign you're in the wrong spot, because there's some organizations that don't recognize good performance. And I hope that gives listeners a little bit of comfort and a sense of relaxation to know that, like, man, it, for most places, if you perform, everything falls into place. And I'm betting that people listening to this show are great at performing and great at, you know, tackling obstacles and achieving missions.
Right. And to be honest, you know, we do place, while we place people transitioning straight out of the military, we also place people who have experience out in the private sector as well. And to be honest, companies, you become more valuable, right? That now they see that you've made the transition, you've had success in an industry, and they tend to give in the option, if they have the option, they're going to choose the person who has some related experience outside the military over the person coming straight out of the military if all of the things are pretty equal.
That's great. That's great. This may be, too similar to the last question, but I'm just kind of, the next thing that was top of mind is if you see veterans struggling in any common areas in their transition.
Yeah, I think one of them, one area that I see repeatedly, I go to a lot of our national events, hiring conferences, and I'll get a chance to sit down and we'll do small group practice interviews with candidates. And I'm repeatedly surprised at the lack of preparation that candidates put into it. And I think you had a couple episodes ago, I think it was Andy Chan, and I loved the way he talked about that this, you need to put the time in and prepare for this job search. It's not going to be your only job search. So put the time in and prepare that from interview preparation, learn how to interview. You don't have to go overboard. It doesn't take that much to get good at interviewing, but you have to put the time in developing examples, being familiar with the questions, and being able to really put your best foot forward when you get the chance to interview. So I definitely see too many come in and kind of try to wing it and not put the time into preparing for interview.
That's great. Yeah, I think I'll put this in the show notes, but I think Andy Chan was that recent interview, and he just the way that he put it that just sunk in for me is this thought of like, man, especially in today's environment, people are switching jobs 15 to 20 times, and so the job search is a ongoing skill that you will use. And so if you approach this and really put in the effort the first time, you are honing a skill that you will use throughout your life. And I've seen that as well, like when people come in unprepared for interviews, and it's like just really doing the homework on the company you're applying to and the position and crafting your story and rehearsing your story and being able to, literally know in your mind when they ask you a time you faced failure, what's your story to share about that? And when they ask you about, a time that you led a team to achieve an objective, what is your story for that? And just having those on the tip of your tongue rather than making it up on the spot. I think that's great advice to not wing it.
Yeah, I think we've already talked about it, but one of the biggest struggles, I think, is just figuring out what they want to do. That's the key. If you've been successful in the military and you can figure out what you want to do, you're going to be able to then prepare accordingly and find that opportunity, I think. Another one, a lot of people I hear, they buy a house before they get out. Some people tie themselves down to a location while they're right before they transition, maybe they, because they still have a steady paycheck and they think, okay, I'm going to buy this house now. Well, that can have a huge impact on your job search. Huge limiting factor on the types of opportunities that you can consider potentially. So everyone's got to make that call themselves, but recognize the consequence sometimes of that. And as you go into a new career, you may get asked to move again. A lot of people get out of the military because of the time away, the quality of life issues and the travel. But if you want to be, in a company and on the fast track moving up, you may need to be prepared, if it's a national company, to be able to move around a little bit in those early years in the company. And so, limiting yourself by location can have definitely limiting, restrictive consequences on your search. And then I think the other struggle, I think, is that the reality is it's hard to duplicate the experience of the military, the camaraderie, the things that you love about the military are hard to find in a company. A lot of companies, you may not find it in work. So recognizing that and figuring out that you can replace that tribe aspect outside of work, whether it's a charity group, it's other organizations where you find that camaraderie and that purpose beyond just your job. Because, coming from the Marine Corps, I know, you know, our culture is, you know, there's, it, I haven't seen anything like the Marine Corps. I mean, Orion has been as close to it as possible because there's, you know, we're all military here, left and right of me. But find a tribe out there that can replicate the positive things that you're taking away from the military.
That's great. You know, that was one of the more surprising things that I found in these interviews is, and for myself as well, is the identity piece or missing that camaraderie. And, you know, take it from me, someone who always felt like on the more civilian side of being in the military, and even I think there was this really big hole that I didn't even expect when I left the military of the connections I had with my crew, with the sense of purpose, with the sense of satisfaction with what I was doing. And so I love that advice of finding organizations like you know, there's so many great organizations out there, Team Red, White, and Blue, Rubicon. There's so many incredible organizations to get involved in or to feel like you're giving back. I think that's a common attribute. So I think that that's really, really powerful advice.
Yeah, I think those are the main struggles that I would probably highlight.
Awesome. And I also wanted to ask, you know, there's definitely the podcast that I'll link to in the show notes. Any other